because we have a goddamn Mike Evans helmet right here too.
You know what's so funny about, you know how I know that Mike Evans is the most underrated player in the world? It's because I've said it probably 200 times. I don't know if I've ever put him in the top five receivers.
Not once.
Not one time. Like, everyone says it, and every time I go to think about it, like,
it's like we were talking about the tier one, tier two receivers, and
I don't even mention his name.
And, like, you know what's so funny, too, is, like, how I know he's underrated? Because I'm the number one person who says it all the time. Taylor had a situation early this year, right after we filmed the episode, like, who to draft. It's like, just go Marvin Harrison Jr. He's going to have a huge year.
Had a terrible year.
Yeah,
a terrible year.
Yeah, so it's just so funny. I just saw that looking at it. It's just like, that's how you know certain players are just, I think it's just because he's not flashy. He's just like a tall, skinny, lanky, like, I don't know. Just doesn't have like that superstar attributes, but he just is a superstar.
Yeah. Did you hit play on there?
Yeah, I hit play.
Oh,
so,
man. I'm at 29 minutes, 40 seconds. How much faster are we?
No, that's fine. It's good. Okay. We'll just, I can always just look down and I could see how long this
is. Did you hit play on here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we're good. We're rock and roll.
All right.
You ready to go?
I am ready to rock and roll, baby.
It's been so long. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Double or Nothing podcast. Thank you for joining us today. This is our first podcast with NFL playoff football. Wild card weekend. And like we were talking about before, probably the best wild card weekend in recent memory as far as like how the games look like they are shaping out to be. Good teams versus good teams.
Yeah, no, it's going to be awesome for the viewers, horrible for the gamblers, I'm sure.
Yeah, this is, looking at the lines this week, it's really tough, but you want to go into how you did last week?
Yeah, I was right around 500. I think I mean, we were just looking at it before, like 5 seconds before trying to get into it. I think I went 7-7, and I don't even know if there was 14 games, so I'm not awake enough to go through every game, but I think I was right around 500 last week.
Yeah, shout out to String Bean for filling in for me. So we'll just jump right into it this week. Not that many games, so we'll go over some stuff afterwards as well.
I was 8-8, I think, actually, because I think there were 16 games, and I was not including the Saturday games, and I went 1-1. I went Ravens Bengals, and the Bengals missed it by half a point.
So, a 2.5.
Yeah.
That got basically everybody.
Yeah, got basically everybody.
They did that on purpose.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. The first game we have, the LA Chargers are -3 at the Houston Texans, over under 42.5.
Yeah, this is a tough, all these games are tough, so let's just start there. Yeah. Every one of these games is extremely difficult. One of the tougher weekends I've seen in a very, very long time. Definitely one of the tougher playoff matchups I've seen in a long time. A lot of times you get into the playoffs, you kind of feel like you have your teams that you know you're riding with. And
yeah.
I just don't really have that much of a gut feeling on a lot of these teams. So it's going to be a tough week. It's going to be a tough week. But
yeah, I will say this, like, funny story. Be careful. And of course, we did a teaser this week. Be careful of the teasers this week.
Yeah.
I remember this time last year, I picked Dallas my last game of the 3-game 10-point.
I can't even talk about Dallas.
Blown out.
Dude, I can't even talk about Dallas. It was a devastating day in this home. Devastating day in this home when Dallas lost by a billion to Jordan Love.
I was sitting in a Chili's.
I don't know if I've ever been more confident on a bet in my entire life. I don't know if I've ever been more confident. Like, I was just like, what are we talking about? Dallas is going to win this game by a gazillion. They hadn't even lost a home game. Jordan Love, I thought, was the most overrated quarterback. I was sitting there purely just like stunned by that game. I couldn't even believe. I was staring at the screen with my jaw on the floor. That was a horrible feeling.
Just touchdown Green Bay.
Yeah.
Touchdown pick six Green Bay.
It's like they're up by like 20.5. I was like, oh my God, this is a massacre. So Yeah, hopefully the same thing doesn't happen to me this year with the first round. Yeah, so just, actually, I had a great first round. I won the pool. I picked every single game correctly against the spread. I actually won that pool.
Yeah,
there was a big pool everybody did, and everybody picked every game against the spread. I got every single game right against the spread except Dallas. Yeah. And you know what was even worse is that I was like, there's no way the only game I bet. The only game I bet is not going to be the only game I get wrong in the pool. So I was like, I have to flip-flop my last pick. So the last game of Wild Card Weekend, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do I'm going to do what I've never done before and go against what I had originally picked and bet heavy. I took the Eagles when I knew Jalen Hurts was horrible. And I took the Eagles just thinking, hey, like, there's no way I'm going to go 6-1 in this pool and bet on the only game I lose. So let's just take the Eagles, double down, and I'll break even. Double down. The Eagles lost worse than the Cowboys.
It got smoked by Tampa.
I couldn't believe it. That was the worst singular day I had in football gambling last year.
Now you know why Dylan hates Love and he hates her.
There you go. It definitely has quite a bit to do with it.
Now you
know. Quite a bit to do with the narrative of this podcast, for sure.
All right, back to the Chargers-Texans.
All right, Chargers-Texans. When I look at this game, I see two very, very similar football teams. I would say that the Texans probably edged the Chargers out in overall talent, but I would say that the quarterback is definitely a little bit more than an edge for the Chargers. So I think this comes down to like such a close game. I mean, every statistic, like, you look at on both sides of the ball, like, these teams are very, very, very close.
Yeah.
So if it's that close and you're going to give me 3 points with the home team, I'm going to roll Texans here. I know my gut originally was telling me Chargers, and I'm sure like the public is probably on the Charger side just due to how bad CJ's kind of played recently.
Yeah.
But I just think he's kind of the quarterback who gets up for these big games. I know he lost in that Georgia game, but like when he played in that Georgia game, like it was like the best performance he had in college. I know they lost, but that Georgia team was like a juggernaut and they could have won.
Field goal kicker, man.
Yeah, and then he comes into the pros, plays really well in a lot of the big moments. Smoked in the first round last year, divisional round. They beat up on Cleveland by a lot, and they were a great defense at the time. So I really have a lot of faith that CJ's going to rise to the occasion here. And Justin Herbert, I know, is super talented, but hasn't had the most success in the playoffs. So it doesn't scare me like going against another all-time talent like a Mahomes or one of these top-tier guys, just because he hasn't really had the playoff success. So I'm going to take the home team and the 3 points here and hope that the Texans just do what they're supposed to.
I'm going to go the other way. I the Texans, to me, just haven't been good lately at all. I mean, it's overall through the whole year, they've been the team that's fine, but they're just smoked by injuries. I think they were the worst team this year against the spread. I love CJ Stroud. It's just, it seems like he's regressed this year after, you know, he starts a podcast in the summer, says he's going to be better than Josh Allen, and then I don't even think he's better than Bryce Young at this point.
He did beat the Bills this year.
Yeah, he did.
So, but I agree with you. Sometimes, like, you get overconfident. You come into the league. He did things that a lot of people hadn't seen a rookie do.
And the sophomore slump is just real.
Yeah.
I think if, like you said, Nico Collins is just so good. So if they are going to win this game, he's got to get the ball 12 times.
Yeah, like, if you would have told me, hey, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud is like an actual thought process on who you'd take at the end of this year, like, I would have told you you're certifiably insane. Like, lock you up. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And now, sitting here this week, if you said, hey, start a franchise tomorrow, CJ or Bryce Young, it'd be a thought.
It really would be a thought.
It would be a thought. Like, I think I would still go CJ, obviously. But, I mean, just due to,
like,
overall, like, what I think. But, like, Bryce Young has definitely taken 100 steps forward. And it seems like CJ Stroud at least has taken a really big step backward. So this is a chance for him to kind of silence all the hate, kind of go out there and prove to everybody, hey, I'm still this top-tier caliber quarterback. I could still be a top-10 guy in this league. I can go out and win big games. So I'm going to take the Texans. But
yeah, I'm going to roll with the Chargers. I think their offense has been really good lately. I know they haven't played the best, you know, competition, but, you know, against the Broncos, they scored 34, scored 40 on the Patriots, who were terrible, and then 34 again to close out the season. I think Herbert is the ankle's healthy. I think they know what kind of team they are. They're going to win by defense and controlling the ball and – Ladd McConkey every week just gets better and better. I mean, so listen, would I be shocked if the Texans won? No, they're a good football team and they're home and their defense is very good as well. But I'm going to go with the in the playoffs, I always tend to lean with the better quarterback.
Yeah, I'm usually the same way. I just think that CJ has the ability to be in the Herbert conversation. I know a lot of people don't believe that.
Yeah.
I just am one of those guys who think, hey, he's had a couple ups and downs. But, like, in the bigger games he's had this year, he's played well. Like, they lost by 2 points to the Packers. They lost by a game-ending field goal to the Lions. They beat the Bills. Like, all the big matchups they've had this year, Kansas City came down to the wire. It was like an 8-point game, 7-point game, one possession game. Like, all these big-time, big-ticket games that he's played in, like, maybe he hasn't played the greatest, but, like, their team has been in it. So if you're going to give me 3 points at home versus a team who, you know, it's kind of lucky to be there in the Chargers.
New. Yeah, they're new.
Like, the Chargers are kind of lucky to be there. And so if you're going to give me 3 points against them, I think that CJ is more than capable of staying in this game. I think CJ is more than capable of winning this game. So give me the 3 points and the Texans at home.
Yeah. All right. On to the next one. We have a divisional game here. The Pittsburgh Steelers are +9.5 at the Baltimore Ravens, over under 43.5.
Yeah, this one is Lamar Jackson overall has struggled against the Steelers, I would say, maybe more than any other team he's played, probably just due to the fact that the Steelers know him a little bit more than most teams in the division. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He's struggled with the Steelers more than he struggled with anybody else, I'd say.
And he struggled in the playoffs.
Yeah, he struggles in the playoffs for sure, and there's no doubt about that. But he did just put a hurting on them the last time they played, which I don't know if that's good or bad going into this game now, because now it's almost like, can he do it again? Derrick Henry, I will say, just fucking torched the Steelers last time they played. He ran for like 160-plus yards.
Their run defense has not been good all year.
Yeah, and I really, really think that this might be the year that Lamar kind of switches the narrative a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to make this massive run and go all the way to the Super Bowl or anything like that. I don't really know yet, but I definitely think if you're going to switch the narrative, you got to beat the Steelers. The Steelers really are another team that's kind of lucky to be here. You know, George Pickens is their best player, and he's a total head case.
I don't even think he's going to be there next year.
He's the best offensive player, I should say.
Yeah,
and he's a total head case. I know Russell Wilson is definitely, obviously, won big games, won Super Bowl, almost won a second one off a bad play call. So, I mean, he's no stranger to a big game and division matchup. It's close. So I what's the spread? 9.5?
9.5.
I'm probably going to buy the half a point and take the Steelers in the 10. I hate it. I absolutely hate it because I could see Lamar steamrolling. But my gut just tells me this division matchup isn't going to be a blowout. I think all these games are going to be a lot closer. I don't think that there's going to be many blowouts. Maybe one in the divisional round. I don't necessarily see it being the Ravens and the Steelers. So give me the Ravens to win by, you know, I don't know, a touchdown, maybe a backdoor cover by the Steelers.
Man, this is so difficult. It really is. I'm going to go over 43.5. I think the number's pretty low. I know the first time they faced each other, it was like, what was it then, scored like 19-18 or something, but last time they played, the Ravens won 34-10. I think the Ravens know who they are. They know how to move the ball. I think if the Steelers figure anything out, like offensively, this number is going to go over 43.5. It's tough with Russell Wilson, right? Like, he's won a lot of big games. I just think Pickens has just let him down so much with, like, half-ass running routes and, you know, fighting people down the field while plays are going on. And it just seems like he doesn't care what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Russ went from being like the best, you know, he's still probably the best deep ball thrower in the league, but
yeah, one of, yeah, for sure. And he did miss Pickens for the game winning touchdown last week though, which was shocking.
Yeah. I think it looked like it was on both of them.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I was just like, whoa, he had him by two steps and the game was over.
I know.
And then he threw Then he came back and kind of redeemed himself, threw an absolute dime to Freiermuth, and Freiermuth just dropped it for the first down.
Yeah. So his lack of talent around him right now, because I don't know, Najee Harris looked like he has taken 15 steps back from where he was in like the first half of the season. And so does the team as a whole. The defense seems to be falling apart. I just think if the Ravens don't try to be too fancy and just go in there, run the ball, and do
play their game,
that they're gonna win. 10 points is a lot, so I don't know.
10 points is a lot. That's it's just driving me crazy. If this game was 6.5 instead of 9.5, I mean, this wouldn't even be a discussion.
Yeah,
like,
I'm saying this to Dylan. So last time they played, the spread was 6.5, and Pickens wasn't playing, so it made sense. Now Pickens is playing, and now it's 10.
So yeah, it's like, a weird one.
It's very weird for a division game against Steelers, who have done so well against Lamar in the past. It's just, I think the noise is maybe getting to everybody.
Like, and I will say, too, like, everybody's on this wave that Mike Tomlin's this fucking great coach. But, like, the guy's just good at going 500. Yeah. Let's just call a spade a spade. Like, what has Mike Tomlin really done? I mean, I understand everyone's going to dog me in the comments for that. Mike Tomlin's won a Super Bowl. Totally understand, right? But, like, the guy has hung on by a thread for years, and his claim to fame is going 8-8. Like, oh, he goes 8-8, and he always plays as an underdog. He plays so tough. It's like, well, there's a reason he's an underdog in every one of these games. It's like that he's playing so great in, because he doesn't win these football games. So, I don't know.
Because it's like, you know, he goes 500 to make the playoffs a good amount of time, and it depends
he
what
does not have a lot of playoff success.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. Yeah. But, like, hey, as a Jet fan, at least they make it there, you know?
I get it. I'm just saying, I understand Mike Tomlin is a good NFL coach, but I don't think Mike Tomlin is an all-time great NFL coach. Like a lot of people automatically deem Mike Tomlin as, like, one of the generation's great coaches. And I just, like, I don't see it. Yeah. I just don't see it. Like, like, you know, I don't even think he's the best head coach in his division.
Oh, he's definitely not.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, just a thought. I mean, I think Mike Tomlin gets a little too much praise for going 500. It's like, bro, I know it's hard to do in the NFL, especially for as long as he's done it.
Yeah.
But, like, when does going 500 just become, all right, he's an average coach?
Yeah, like, show us something here.
Yeah. Like, I'd much rather a couple of seasons winning 10 plus 12 plus football games and then maybe falling back on a couple of 500 seasons, maybe a little bit below, than just having a career of going like 8-8. But whatever. I mean, people love the guy, so it is what it is. And I am going to roll with them this week just because I'm sure he'll keep it close. But I just don't see the Steelers getting over the hump. I think they'll keep it close, backdoor cover. But the number's just a little too high for me to go with the Ravens in round one. So give me the Steelers. And then I'm going to buy the half a point, though, like, because it's a Saturday standalone game. It's an 8:30 game, right?
8 o'clock, yeah.
8 o'clock game. Like you'll have a free and clear slate to make up your mind. You can buy the half a point without it being a bunch of games bunched together. So give me the Steelers in the 10.
All right, moving on. That'll take care of the Saturday games to the Sunday games. 1 o'clock, the Denver Broncos are +8.5 at the Buffalo Bills. Over under 46.5.
Yeah, see, this game to me is, it went from when I first saw the matchup, I'm like, this might be the easiest game of the week, right? I mean, like, just take Bills, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
That was what my initial thought process was. Just take the Bills. Josh Allen's going to beat up on the Broncos, and that's going to be the end of it. See you later. Bo Nix, rookie quarterback, going to Buffalo. I've definitely changed my tune a little bit. I think that the Broncos defense is about as official as it gets. Like, I think they're one of the best defenses in the playoffs. I mean, they're right up there with their top 2-3 defense in this playoffs. I think Pat Surtain is solidified himself as the best corner in football. He's going to lock down an entire side of that football field against the Bills. Like, he's not a kind of guy who's going to go back and forth. He's going to stay on one side of the field. He's going to lock down the whole side. And I think that crushes Josh Allen and the Bills' game plan. So I think that overall, I think this is a good matchup for the Broncos.
I know.
Because I think that the Bills defense isn't fantastic at all. Like, they're just, like, probably slightly below average. And I think that falls right into Bo Nix's hand. Like, he can kind of scramble, extend those plays with his legs. Dude, he's kind of like a mini-me Josh Allen. Like, he's not as good, but, like, he kind of moves with his legs. Yeah. He could throw the ball a little bit. I mean, look at the stats. They're kind of weirdly similar, like, this year. And he can move. He could throw. He could do all these things on offense. I don't think the Bills' defense is daunting enough to, like, scare Bo Nix off and make him make a ton of mistakes. So I could see the Broncos coming in here scoring a bunch of points, and I could see that the Bills really struggling against the Broncos. So if you're going to give me 8.5 points, I'm going to take it. Do I think that the Broncos are going to win? No. But do I think it's a more of a possibility than maybe the nation thinks? I do. So give me the 8.5 and give me the rookie quarterback going to Buffalo. I think they keep it close enough to cover the 8.5. I kind of hope that the Bills win just because I want the, for the playoffs overall, it's just better when these big time, big players are in it. Stuff, yeah. So I don't really want to see Bo Nix like win a couple playoff games, but I do think it's a possibility, and I definitely think that they're going to cover the 8.5.
I'm going to take the 8.5, too. Everything you just said, in playoffs, all that matters to me is, like, defense. Usually the defense is just, like, come to play. The offense is kind of, like, freeze up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the defense is just always show up in and out. And there's one defense that's been showing up every week this year. It's been the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
This is another – I know the weather doesn't look bad in Buffalo. Denver's an outdoor team anyway. Yeah. It's not like they don't play in the cold, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think it's a little bit of a fake confidence boost. Like, they beat the third stringers by a billion last week. And, like, I know everyone's like, oh, it's just the backups. It's like, yeah, no, I totally get that. But
they took care of business.
It doesn't mean that their confidence isn't through the roof. Like, hey, we just went in here, closed out the year on a 38-0 win. Their confidence level is through the roof. It's not like it was this close, hard-fought game, and Bo Nix is kind of, like, trembling. Like, he's up here right now.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's not like there's some rinky-dink team that snuck in. You know, I got 10 wins.
On top of the fact that, dude, I know, think what you want about Sean Payton. Sean Payton throws some wild shit in the playoffs.
I know.
Like, he does some wild, unorthodox, crazy shit. It can win or lose you a game, but I've seen him have a lot of success with this wiry, crazy shit in the postseason. So I think that he's gonna have some tricks up his sleeve. I think Bo Nix is going to extend some of these broken plays and really make this a lot closer than I think the public thinks. So I think the 8.5 is a no-brainer.
I think you're right. I think, you know, I mean, I could look stupid next week, but I would be pretty shocked if Denver didn't score 20 points.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's like, hey, if they hold Buffalo to under 30, then, you know,
we're supposed to. Yeah. And I think that's where.
And all I've had to hear all year is that Josh Allen has no offensive help. So, I mean, it's.
Yeah,
which is so crazy to me as James Cook leads the NFL in touchdowns with like 19.
I know.
No offensive help. Yes,
I did kind of think that going in. I really did think that going in, and I think his team is good enough. I do think Josh Allen kind of did drag them there, but I agree. I think their offense is obviously good enough to go in there and score. Like, if they scored a bunch of points, I wouldn't be stunned. I'm just saying, if they played this game 10 times in a row, I think Denver's defense would hold them to under 30 more than they wouldn't. So
100%.
So if that's the case, I think that Bo Nix and their offense is humming right now. So to think that they can't go out and score 21 points is a little bit of a stretch. So I think that this spread is a little bit wrong. So I'm going to take the 8.5.
How much time do we have left? I have like 8 minutes on mine, but I know I started like.
We have 8 minutes or through 7 minutes. We have seven minutes.
All right. Perfect. All right. Next game we have. The Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles. Green Bay is +4.5, over under 45.5.
Yeah, this is the Dylan matchup here. This is the 1A, 1B most overrated players in the NFL. I think that this is also a strange one. I think that the Eagles are definitely better than the Packers. I think that the Packers are kind of a knockoff version of the Eagles. Like a really, really, really good run game, a pretty good defense, and a quarterback that kind of holds them back a little bit. But I think overall, 4.5 seems like it's a lot. Jordan Love played great in the first round last year. I'm going
to – there's no Christian Watson, right? He's hurt. I don't know.
I'm probably going to roll Eagles here minus the 4.5 because I could just see – I could just see this kind of being a blowout. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the Eagles are kind of destined to play pretty well in this postseason. Like, Saquon is rested. Their team is rested.
They're going to the Super Bowl.
I'm gonna roll -4.5. I'm going to roll Jalen Hurts has a decent game, manages it pretty well. Saquon runs all over the Packers, and they kind of just cruise to a victory. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout, but I think if the Packers really don't kind of score, drive in, drive out, kind of put some points on the board every other drive, I think this game could get away from them quick. Oh, yeah. So I'm going to take the Eagles minus the 4.5. I really don't love it. I think that this game is pretty close, so I don't really like the 4.5, but the Eagles overall are just a way better football team, in my opinion.
I'm taking the 4.5, too. I think you're right. There's been one huge improvement with the Eagles' assurance, their defense.
And it's been great.
Right behind Denver, that they're probably the second-best defense in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Jordan Love and the Packers, I mean, listen, I know he didn't play the second half last week because he got hurt, but, you know, dogfight against the Bears. And that's their second dogfight against
and
the Bears.
And Jordan Love looked horrific.
I think they pulled him out because, one, Christian Watson gets hurt, and then Jordan Love goes down. They're like, oh, boy.
Forget Jordan Love going down. Before he went down, he looked pathetic. Yeah. He looked pathetic. So
I think he's going to play a defense that is very good, and I just think the Eagles are just – they know who they are. They're going to hand off the ball to Saquon. They're going to control the game. If they need to score points, I don't think Green Bay is going to stop them. They go on these 12-minute drives that always ended 7 points in a tush push. And it's just going to be so defeating for Green Bay, because if Jordan Love has to play from behind is when he is not good.
No, I agree.
This is why they take the ball. If they win the coin toss, they take the ball like 85% of the time because they need him to get off to a good start. And if he plays from behind, not good.
Yeah, and plus, I think the Eagles' weapons are just going to swallow the Packers, right? I mean, like, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley.
I don't know any position where Green Bay is better than
that. I think that they're a click below. I think they're, like, a little bit of a knockoff Eagles. Like, you know, yeah. I think quarterback's really close. I think running back is a click below. But Josh Jacobs had a great year. But, like, he's not Saquon.
But he's not Saquon. Like, you know, like, the Packers Dobbs receivers, is good. And Jalen, you know, they're good.
But they're not A.J. and Devontae.
No.
The defense is good, but it's not the Eagles' defense.
Kraft is good, but I think Goddard is better.
Yeah. I think the real matchup here that's going to possibly save the Packers if they do wind up winning the game is that Nick Sirianni is going to make a terrible decision and Matt LaFleur is going to make great decisions. I think that's what could get Green Bay over the hump.
If you flip-flop the head coaches.
This is a blowout. It's a blowout. This is a blowout.
Yeah.
It's a blowout.
Like you said, every single week, love the Eagles, but they'll lose. They won't cover the spread because their head coach will make some stupid
decision. And that's why I rolled against them. That's why I covered a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We're both going to go Eagles here, but Sirianni and Jalen Hurts can make anything happen.
On to our Sunday night game. The Washington Commanders are at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Commanders are +3, over under 50.5. This one's got to tear you up a little bit.
These are my guys, man.
You went from your least two favorite quarterbacks
to my favorite two quarterbacks. I know. Jaden Daniels did me right this year, man. He basically superseded all my projections for him this year. I said he was going to play like a rookie RG3, and he basically did better. He basically did the exact same thing. I mean, like, almost stat to stat, like, was very similar. 5 more touchdowns, 4 more picks, same amount of rushing yards, same amount of, like, touchdown. Like everything kind of lined up. I was very spot on with Jaden Daniels coming into the year. I was also spot on with Baker. Like, one of the most underrated quarterbacks. Well, Baker Mayfield's got the quietest 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns I've ever seen.
So I think he was like the third or fourth best fantasy quarterback.
I haven't seen one person talk about his season. He's played fantastic, and he lost probably his most reliable receiver. I mean, obviously, Mike Evans is unbelievable.
The guy is throwing Sterling Shepard out there.
Couldn't
even make it on the Giants.
Dude, the other kid's a stud.
McMillan is awesome.
The kid's a stud. Yeah, that kid's a stud. He's a stud. And so I like him. Bucky turned out to be a huge, huge, huge find for them.
Yeah, he's amazing. Bucky's awesome.
But in the same aspect, I mean, Jaden Daniels has rose to every occasion he's come across. Like, all these big games, like, he's found a way to win when it mattered in the end. He always finds a way to... I think he's got like 5 or 6 game-winning drives this season. Like, kind of very Stroud-esque last year, doing the same kind of thing. And then he went out and bulldozed Cleveland in the postseason. So this is a really, really, really close matchup. And I do think that the defense of the Bucs, the pass defense, could crush them. I mean, they're like 30th in the league against the pass, the Bucs. And Jaden Daniels is really, really good thrower of the football, man. So I think it could get, it could become a really, really close game. I hope it's a dogfight, but I will take the experience of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Evans has been there before. Baker Mayfield has been in these big moments before. So he smoked the Eagles last year in the first round. I think he gets up big time for these games. So I know they struggled last week against the Saints, so it's kind of a little bit of a scary thing to go in.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked if the over hits. What's the over?
50.5.
That is too high. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I think the over probably winds up hitting, but I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Bucs minus the 3.
I'm going to take them too. I think you hit it on the head. I think the experience, I think Todd Bowles will have something dialed up for this, you know. Their defense has been, I feel like it's just so wishy-washy. It's like some weeks they're awesome, and then the other weeks are like, wow, this team is like pitiful against her. Like, you know, like they looked, they made the Saints look like contenders
last
week.
I know.
But that was a game that, honestly, the Bucs probably went into that game feeling like they were just going to roll a little bit. Like, oh, we're playing the Saints who haven't even scored a touchdown in 3 weeks. Like, we should roll them. And I listened to Ryan Fitzpatrick talk about this on a podcast this week. Is Baker came out of halftime last week and they were losing to the Saints, and on third down he just ran the ball himself, lowered his shoulder and truck sticks some Saints player and stands over top of him, and then the guy gets up and throws him, and Baker makes it seem like
I loved it.
Then there's fighting going on, so he just gets the team like just riled up and built up for these games. I love Jaden Daniels. The Commanders have been so good to us all year long. Like, even, you know, betting-wise,
they've been fantastic.
Betting-wise,
everything.
Like,
they've done me right all year.
I just love Baker just a little more. I think he's going to do. And they're so similar in the way that they're both will do whatever they need to do to get a first down, to get, like, some points out of a drive. I'm just going with the experience. You know,
I agree.
I just think Todd Bowles will draw up or he'll at least be able to like make adjustments throughout the game better than what the Commanders will
do. I could see the Commanders got the Bucs in. Like, you know, like they beat that Falcons in a game the Bucs needed. I mean, you heard Baker on the press conference.
That
I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan tonight.
Yeah, the Commanders didn't need the game.
So I could see Baker being like, hey, thanks for getting us in. We'll take it from here. We'll take it from here. So I really think that the Bucs, I think the Bucs are just a team filled with underrated players who have a lot to prove, chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
So I think they're a really dangerous team in this playoffs just due to the fact that they are a scoring machine when they want to be and they're firing. So I don't necessarily know that the Commanders are experienced enough to keep up in these big moments. So give me Baker minus the 3.
Let's go Big Mike here.
Yeah, Mike Evans, baby.
I'm so sad that everyone on Twitter was like, they almost made it seem like Mike is a charity case. Oh, he only just barely gets over 1,000 yards
every
year. They do, you know what? Twitter is the worst, man. Or X. It's the worst.
Guy had 11 straight seasons from his rookie year till now of over 1,000 yards.
Oh, look at this Mickey Mouse run of barely 1,004 yards, 1,017. Like, oh, they have to force
look at the touchdowns. Look at the red zone targets. Like, the guy's money when the team needs him the most.
Drives me crazy. No one can ever have success.
Oh,
and
I
just
know.
Be happy for people,
X is a dark place, man. X is a dark place.
It really is. All right, last game of the week. Monday night, 8:00. The Minnesota Vikings are -1.5 at the LA Rams, over under 47.5. Another game that I just hate that these two teams are playing each other.
Me too. I like both of these teams big time. I do think the over is almost a mortal lock here, but I am going to go with my gut. And my gut tells me that McVay, Stafford, and the Rams have waited for this moment all year, like kind of just strung themselves along, like doing their best to stay healthy. They finally got an opportunity to rest everybody up last week. They got everybody kind of coming back.
Think of what they did last week, right? And this will put it in. They chose the Rams. This is why I always get a little scared of them. They chose to rest their players the last week, knowing that if they lost that game last week, they're playing the Lions or the Vikings.
Yeah.
Instead of if they won, they would have played anybody. You know, like
they would have played the Bucs
or Commanders. No, Commander, because the Bucs won their division.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right.
So like that's you would rat.
They just don't care who they play because I think that they know that their team stacks up against anybody in the league. Like,
they prioritized health over who they're going to play because to them it
matters the most, because when they're firing on all cylinders and they're fully healthy, they can beat anybody in football. You saw it when I said it against the Bills game. They went up. The Bills went out to L.A. and L.A. hung almost 50. They had 48 points on Buffalo and they won a 48-44 game, something crazy like that. And I think that that's the kind of team that they are. When you get them in the right groove with McVay drawing up those crazy plays, Puka, Cooper Kupp, Matthew Stafford, Kyron Williams, like, this is the kind of offense that nobody wants to see. Yeah,
they have to figure it out. Their offense has been bad the last couple of weeks, but it could be from health. It could be from fatigue. They went on this late run at the end of the year. I mean, who would have thought after week five, no one had this team winning the division. Then everyone comes back and they just start rolling. Again.
Dude, I picked them to win the division before the season even started.
I know, and then it's just like Kupp and Puka missed like 4 or 5 weeks, and they just had Kyron stringing along the team, getting 30 carries a game.
I really genuinely think that this is too good of a team to be getting points at home in a playoff game. Matt Stafford, McVay, these guys, they've all been there before. If Cooper Kupp even shows up and shows glimpses of what he was a few years ago, I mean, he could be the most dangerous receiver in all of football. And he's there too. So when we're talking about, and like, listen, I do think that the Vikings taking that gut punch last week, I do think their confidence is they got kicked in the dick a little bit. Justin Jefferson got clamped up by Amir Robinson or a Kamir Robinson, whatever the hell the guy's name is. Like, he got clamped up last week, which hasn't happened to him in God knows how long.
Yeah.
And Sam Darnold really didn't look great at all. The moment was too big for him. So I think that they're kind of coming in on this, like, they've been up here all year. And they kind of got kicked in the dick right before it matters.
Yeah.
And now I feel like they got knocked down a few pegs. They didn't take the division. They now have a really hard matchup in week one. So I could see this kind of that Detroit game could kind of spin their confidence level down a few pegs just enough for them to kind of come in flat in this football game. And I think the Rams are coming in fully ready to roll. So give me the Rams and the 1.5 at home.
Well, the scary thing is this game, I mean, terrible with the fires going on in California. It might not be played in L.A. It might be played in Arizona. I mean,
doesn't matter. L.A. doesn't really have that big of a home field.
I was
going to
say,
anyway.
They didn't have a home field anyway.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But I'm going to go with the Rams with you. I think last week the Lions kind of showed – the Lions were really hurt on defense, right? And what did they do last week? Hey, if we're going to beat them, we're just going to blitz. And they blitzed like over 50% of the snaps. And teams have been so afraid to do that this year with the Vikings because you have Justin Jefferson and you have Jordan Addison. So, but if you want to shake things up and get to Sam, I think the blueprint or what the game plan is, you got to blitz him.
Make him make
scary.
Bad decisions.
You got to make him make quick decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Make him make quick decisions. And I'm sure the Vikings will watch tape and try to figure something out to make quicker passes. Maybe Justin Jefferson can't run these, 30-yard routes downfield because he's not going to have the time. The Rams blitz more than anyone in the league since the second half of the season. I think they're just going to blitz the hell out of him and make him, make decisions. When that happens to Stafford, it's not a big deal. He knows what to do. He's calm, cool, and collected. I just think I always go with the more experienced quarterback in the playoffs. I love Sam, and I picked the Vikings to be my underdog team to win to go to the Super Bowl, but this is the worst first-round matchup for them. The Rams are so good.
I agree. I'm just going to roll with the fact that I had L.A. from day one as a team that I thought could go all the way. I think it's a really bad shake for the Vikings to get them in the first round, have to go to L.A. and play a team that's well-rested and well-experienced in these moments, McVay and Stafford and Cooper Kupp. Like, I know Puka's there too, but
yeah.
I just think overall this team is just going to kind of
put
the pressure on the Vikings here in the round one.
I think their offense needs to be – the Rams, they need to wake up a little bit. Stafford is just so in love, and Puka is unbelievable. He's too in love with Puka. Like, Cooper Kupp needs more than two targets a game if they want to win a game like this. I know
Puka it's just the way they
awesome.
Run their offense. It's so like, weird. Like, when Cooper was in that role, that's all Cooper got.
Like, they need to spread the ball around a little bit.
I know, but like you say that, and then you watch Puka every time he has great games, and you're just like, Jesus Christ, this guy can't miss.
This guy's awesome, yeah. And he finishes with great numbers. But then they win games 14-6.
I know.
Or they score 12 points against the Rams, or they don't score that much. So could it be health? You know, who knows? The last couple weeks, their offense looked pretty rough, but I'm with you. I think they bounce back.
I think they bounce back. I think the Rams make a deep run in these playoffs. I don't think anybody wants to see them.
No.
I think everybody's hoping the Vikings knock them off.
It sucks that this is the Vikings-Rams.
Yeah.
It really does.
But it's great for TV. It's great for the games. It's great to watch it. So I'm going to take the Rams. I wouldn't be stunned if the Vikings win, but I really, really like the Rams to make a run.
All right. That's it for the all the games this week. We got some time left. I saw of course, Emmanuel Ocho, with all the stuff he's going through this week, had put out a QB do you trust the most list in the playoffs for this year. So I'm going to ask Dylan his list of who he trusts from most, you know, I trust this guy the most to the least. So quarterbacks in the playoffs, Mahomes, Allen, Love, Stafford, Goff, Daniels, Bo Nix, Russell Wilson, Herbert, Stroud, Darnold, and Lamar Jackson.
So one would be Mahomes, obviously.
All right,
you're gonna trust Mahomes the most, obviously. I mean, that goes without saying. One was everybody's one.
Uh-huh.
Two is gonna have to be Matt Stafford, just because he's a Super Bowl winner. As soon as he got to LA, showed everybody what he's capable of. Went all the way there, won the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And I just think that he's a big, big, big game quarterback. So give me Matt Stafford as the second most trusted. It gets wiry from here.
Yeah, it does.
It gets wiry from here. I know Russ has won the Super Bowl, but it was a long time ago. So I'm probably going to steer clear of Russ here for a little bit. I'm going to probably go with Josh Allen, because I know his record doesn't show it, but his stats are incredible in the postseason. A lot of these losses haven't been his fault. So Josh Allen would probably be third. I would probably then go to Baker, because I just feel like Baker, Lamar's postseason really just hasn't been good enough, and he's got to prove to me that he can win in the moments that matter the most. So I'll go Baker at four. I'll go Baker at four. I'll go Lamar at five. I'll go.
Yeah, it's tough.
Russ at. I'll go CJ. Ooh. I'll go CJ 6, Herbie 7, Russ 8. I'll go Jaden 9, Darnold 10, Bo Nix.
This is shaping up.
Bo Nix 11, Jordan Love 12, and Jalen Hurts 13.
Hurts last.
He'd be the last quarterback. If I had a free pick at quarterback, he'd be the last quarterback I'd take.
Wow.
In this postseason, he'd be the last quarterback. I'd take Bo Nix over Jalen Hurts.
Come on.
I would take Bo Nix over Jalen Hurts. Oh, I think if Bo Nix played on the Eagles team, they'd have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl.
Come on. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I would take Bo Nix over. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Like, I know everybody thinks it's just blind hate, but
it's blind hate. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I think that there's a 25-30% chance Bo Nix shocks the world and beats the Bills. Like right now, if Jalen Hurts was the quarterback of the Broncos, I would think they have zero chance.
Well, you know what? In games like this, you know, like, say what you want about Hurts, he can run the ball too. I mean, most of his playoff success has been like, you know, he does whatever throwing the ball. He gets his 220 yards or whatever because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are so good. But he can take the ball off and get you 50, 60 yards when he needs to. You know, he is a threat. I don't know. I mean, Bo Nix, obviously, to me, would be probably last on this list.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I didn't have him far from last. I just
you had to take Nix over Hurts. Jesus.
We'll have to put this graphic on TikTok and let everyone see. I don't think my list varies off. I'd probably switch Stafford and Allen now just because Stafford is a little bit older and Allen for the past 4 years has just been crushing the playoffs.
Absolutely.
And it's never been his fault, you know, that they lose these games. I would probably say Baker over Lamar. I would switch Stroud and Herbert. I know
I think
Stroud,
it's close.
Yeah,
but
Stroud had a good game against the Browns last year in the playoffs, and it, you know, the stats are, you know, a little, they are what they are. But Joe Flacco threw like 3 pick-sixes in that game too, so it's not, he didn't really have to do much. I just remember the game he went into Baltimore and he looked like a deer in headlights. That he was like, oh my goodness, like, but that was Baltimore. You know?
Yeah, and also like we just spoke about before the podcast ripped off. Like, I mean, Justin Herbert letting the Jacksonville Jaguars make a 21-point comeback in the second quarter of a big playoff
game.
And
I said, you know, his coach was bad at the time, but it's also on him. Sometimes you got to make some
plays. I don't think it was necessarily all on him. It's just like that ain't happening to a lot of these other guys who are as talented as he is.
I know. There's always some – it's like when the Texans gave up a 24-point lead to the Chiefs, you know. It's like,
yeah.
It's like that. So
and it's usually you want your quarterback on the opposite side of that. You want the Joey B coming back 24-3 on the Chiefs. You want the Chiefs coming back 24-0 on the Texans. You want your quarterback on the right side of those comebacks. When you start seeing that, hey, Justin Herbert's a top 5 NFL quarterback giving up a 21-point lead to a wild card team. Or no, they won the division. the division, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So all right, so that list went basically how I thought it was going to go. I mean, unfortunately, we love Sam Darnold, but you have to have him down there on the list just because he hasn't been in the playoffs yet.
So do you want to just do real quick AFC winner, NFC winner, and a Super Bowl champ?
Yeah,
this is the first week of the playoffs. Like,
we got to do it now. All right.
I mean, we've done it a lot of weeks, so we'll see if it varies from where our heads were at a few weeks ago. But
my AFC, I'll do like going to the Super Bowl.
To the Super Bowl, winning the AFC champ, or you could do AFC championship.
I'm gonna go. Yeah, I mean, I'll go with the Ravens. I think this is their year. This is the best team offensively that Lamar's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Zay Flowers has to get healthy, but I just think right now they have a pretty easy road.
I love the Ravens, and I would want nothing more than for Lamar Jackson to go all the way to the Super Bowl. So I'm not right there with you with my pick, but if that happens, I would be all for it because I would love to see Lamar switch the narrative this year.
Me too, which I he has the talent to do it.
Yeah, of course. Of course he does. I think he's the second best player in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So so that's your AFC pick. Who's your NFC pick?
I gotta go with the Eagles. You know,
it's gonna be a Super Bowl of the birds, baby.
Yeah, it really is. I you know, in the beginning of the year, I said the Eagles will go to the Super Bowl, and I haven't really
wavered from that much at all.
I say if their defense got better, I don't know a team that could really compete with them on both sides of the ball. The undoing of them will be Nick Sirianni, some way, shape, or form.
Okay. So who wins the Super Bowl? Ravens, Eagles, Johnny's got going to the Super Bowl. Who takes it?
It's the Eagles year this year.
Oh, my God. Jalen Hurts hoisting the trophy. Okay.
Jalen Hurts and the birds will. And, you know, they'll give Nick Sirianni another longer leash, and it's just going to hold them back down the line.
There you go.
Dynasty run that they should be on.
Okay, so Johnny's got the Eagles and the Ravens going to the Super Bowl with the Eagles beating the Ravens. That's our playoff. That's his playoff prediction, Super Bowl prediction. I am going to take a totally different road. I am going to go with the Chiefs are going to win in the AFC. Another boring pick, but it's not really as boring.
People
just
are down
because
on them this
everybody
year.
Yeah. doesn't have them. So, like, if you're going to give me a team that has some kind of motivation now, who definitely don't need it. You know, you're going to give the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. You're going to give these guys motivation, like, to be like the so-called underdogs again as the number one seed. So I think that they'll have a lot to play for. I think they're going to run through the AFC and they're going to take it home. So give me the Chiefs from the AFC, and the NFC is what we just talked about. I could be stunned in week one here. My week one pick could be right out the goddamn window because they have a great matchup, but I'm going to take the LA Rams to make a run and go all the way there. And I think that the Chiefs three-peat and take out Matty Staff.
I would root so hard for the Rams, man.
Yeah, I mean, me too, dude. Yeah, I'm not saying that this is not what I want. This is just
what
I've watched the playoffs. I bet serious money in the playoffs. every year. And every year I say to myself, like, you have to just take the Chiefs. And it's never has, it hasn't not worked out for me yet. So I'm not going to go against a team that has made me so much goddamn money.
If at any point somehow they get points, I mean, if they're playing the Ravens, I truly believe that it will be probably a pick'em game. Like if that ends up just because of how good the Ravens are, and it's to me, I think the Ravens will make it there. But if that's the case, then I'll somehow have to bet the Chiefs because you have to.
You can't not take the Chiefs if you're not laying points. If you're getting a pick'em, if you're laying one and a half, it's these just close games. I could see it being a case where if Buffalo wins by 40 and then turns around and wins their next matchup by like fucking 21, I could see them turn around and being 3-point favorites in Kansas City, and that would be the easiest money I've ever made. So,
I know. I mean, especially after they lost to Buffalo this year in kind of an embarrassing fashion.
I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are, I don't care what anybody says, you could say ref help, you could say this, that's not going to change, guys.
There's no quarterback on third and five who you trust more is going to catch you a first down.
And like everyone's like, oh, well, all they did this year was get help from the refs all year. Do you think that's going to change, guys?
It's only going
to
get worse.
Do you think it's going to change?
It's only gonna
when they
get
to the playoffs and you guys are crying because you bet on the Ravens or you bet on the Bills and you're crying because Mahomes gets some rinky-dink fucking roughing the passer call, don't be shocked, okay? Because it's going to happen. And the Chiefs are going to take advantage of every single one of them. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to put points on the goddamn board every time they get one of those gimme penalties. So,
and you know what sucks is the Bengals are a 4th-and-17 defensive pass interference call away from being in the playoffs.
Yeah. 100%.
Against the Chiefs.
It's true. It's just the Chiefs are just, to me, the Chiefs are going to take advantage of everything that's passed their way. They're going to capitalize on all these big turnovers their defense gets for them. Mahomes is going to put his team in a position to win games.
You can't be shocked anymore.
Yeah.
You can't be shocked.
Their kicker is no stranger to the big moment. Buckert has kicked big kicks. He kicked a big kick against Buffalo to get him there when Mahomes drove down and 10 seconds to win that game.
Yeah.
So you got a kicker who can make the big kicks. You got the best quarterback in the league. You got the best head coach in the league. You have one of the top five defenses in the playoffs.
I would say probably the best defensive coordinator in the league.
Yeah, you have one of the best blitz disguise fucking coaches there is. Like, you're telling me that, I know it's boring because they've won and nobody wants to go with them. They're the team to go with, guys. Like, they're the team to go with. If you're putting money on these playoffs, don't kick yourself on Sunday morning when you didn't take the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like
you said, if
on
it's
Monday
in
morning,
that pick 'em range or 1.5, it's like you'll never be too mad at yourself if you take them and they lost.
If they lose, they lose. They so be it. Teams can lose. The Chiefs can lose. They are not immortal. But do not kid yourselves. Like, before the game, if you have money to bet and you're looking for the best chances at cashing that ticket, you take the Chiefs.
I mean, the Chiefs are the reason, like, the sharps will go crazy because they have their power rankings and what spreads should be. And it's like, oh, well, you know, technically this team, the Buffalo, is a better team, so I got to go with Buffalo because, you know, the power ranking, it's like all that goes out the window in the playoffs. The better quarterback usually wins, and it's always Patrick Mahomes.
And the better head coach always has something to do with it, and it's always going to be Andy Reid.
Yeah, so don't be shocked.
Yeah, don't be shocked. And everyone who thinks Travis Kelce's washed, everyone who's like, oh, Travis Kelce can't do this, can't do that.
He's got
2 weeks
left now.
He will crush your team on third down in the playoffs the entire run. You're going to think that Mahomes is dead in the water, is going to be a bunch up in the pocket. Mahomes is going to spin around to the left, spin around to the right, and he's just going to find Travis Kelce wide open, and everyone's going to say the same thing from their couch. How is he this open?
Yeah.
And he's going to have 100 yards, and he's going to have 2 touchdowns. He's going to have this crazy run throughout the whole playoffs, and everyone's going to be like, oh, well, they got help from the reps, or they got this.
It happens every year.
It happens every year. They're going to win. So don't kid yourselves. Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl.
All right, that'll do it for the first round week here, the playoffs of the NFL. Thanks for listening and tuning in.
Last thing, if I could pick one team that I want to see win, that I would love to win, I would love to see Jaden Daniels shock the world.
Oh, I was going to say Tampa Bay and Baker.
I would love to see Baker, too. So whoever wins that game, I would love them to just wreak havoc through the playoffs.
Me too.
So those are my teams that I want. I just don't know if they have the firepower, the coaching staff. I just don't know if they have what they need to get past these juggernaut teams. But if they do, I'll be the number one fan rooting for them from my living room. So
don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms, Double or Nothing Podcast,
TikTok,
Instagram. Thank you all.